Congress is back after a two-week recess. The House managed to knock out two good government bills. It gave final passage to the Data Act, and it also passed the Government Reports Elimination Act. What about the bigger stuff? For more on the congressional to-do list, we turn to Bob Cusack, managing editor at The Hill. Hi, Bob.
Emily, Tom, good morning.
So, Bob, I have to say, this week started off on sort of an odd foot. Yesterday, there was a lot of news about some congressmen in trouble, and there was a bill that actually was passed.
Yes, they came back, and they passed this money transparency bill. The biggest news, however, though, was two Republican congressmen in trouble. Michael Grimm indicted on 20 counts. He says he's going to run for reelection. He's not quitting. He stepped down from the Financial Services Committee at the behest of GOP leaders. And we also have Congressman Chris McAllister, who is embroiled in an affair with one of his staffers. He said he was not going to seek reelection, but will serve out the remainder of his term. So that was kind of the big news that was coming out of Capitol Hill, and certainly Republicans, kind of some tough issues to deal with for John Boehner and his lieutenants right now.
Okay, so besides that little, that's sort of a sideshow, I guess, and they did
right.
pass a couple of small bills, and one was already passed by the Senate, and the Elimination Act is going to be introduced in the Senate. But what's the big stuff? What are the prospects, I guess, of budget passage at this point? There's certainly been enough hearings about it.
We've got 6 months to go before the elections, and basically there's a lot on Congress's plate, a lot they could get done, but just don't bet on it. You have unemployment benefits extension, unlikely to happen, something that's passed the Senate, probably not going to pass the House. We have immigration reform, and that's gotten a lot of attention over the last week or so, where John Boehner was making fun of his Republican colleagues, mocking them back home in Ohio for not wanting to act, for being too scared to act on immigration. So Democrats are going to have fun with that. On fiscal issues, appropriations, there is some optimism because we had the Paul Ryan, Patty Murray deal that was struck in December that set bipartisan spending levels. So both the Appropriations Committee chairman, Hal Rogers, Republican from Kentucky, Barbara Mikulski, Senator, Democrat from Maryland, are saying we can actually get appropriations done one by one between now and the fiscal year. Now, remember, Republicans want to avoid a government shutdown, and that is something that potentially could happen at the end of the fiscal year, but Republicans are not going to want to repeat their mistakes of last year. So will they get all of the appropriations done, bills done one by one by the end of the fiscal year? Probably not, but they're going to get some of them. In the House, they have three teed up for this week, and they're the more non-controversial spending bills. So there is some hope on that kind of stuff, but the big issues, unemployment benefits and immigration, they're just not going to happen this year.
So with regards to the appropriations bills, because, of course, that affects a lot of people that are our listeners, our federal managers and contractors and the like, what is exactly happening? We've heard of a slew of budget hearings, but are the committees actually making decisions behind closed doors, do you think?
Yes, they are. They are. And they have this big number of $1.1 trillion that they agreed to, but they have to parse it up, and they've got to hand it out, too. So there are certainly going to be winners and losers, and the administration has put forward a budget that Republicans didn't exactly embrace, and Senate Democrats didn't pass a budget just because they said, well, we've already done one late last year. We don't need to do another one. But as far as looking forward, it's going to be in the details of these appropriation bills, which agencies get money. And, of course, with appropriation bills, there's always riders on what agencies can and can't do. And that's going to be negotiated on a bipartisan basis. And the one thing in this era of gridlock, there is a good relationship between the heads of the Appropriations Committees, Hal Rogers and Mikulski, and they are committed to really restoring the power of the Appropriations Committee, which after earmark reform and earmarks were banned, there's not, you know, a lot of people don't like being on Appropriations Committee anymore. It's not as powerful as it used to be. So they're on a mission to get some stuff done. So they're making decisions, and they're going to see bills moving through their committee over the next several months and then onto the House and Senate floors. But when you're dealing with controversial bills, such as the labor HHS and education bill, where it's going to get wrapped up in the politics of Obamacare, also abortion issues. Those are very tough bills to pass.
All right, so there's plenty of contention ahead. I just wanted to circle back for a moment to the immigration reform bill for a moment. Mm-hmm. I mean, Congress has to fund agencies, whether they like it or not. But in the case of immigration, I wonder if that falls into that bucket of items where maybe Congress is more exquisitely tuned to the mood of their constituents than maybe the rest of us, say, in the media. Mm-hmm. And maybe they sense that immigration reform doesn't matter that much to the average American.
You know, it's interesting. We've been talking to some members about, you know, what are their top issues. And if you look at polling, certainly in some districts, in some parts of the country, immigration reform is very, very important. And politically, it's very important to both Democrats and Republicans. But as a top issue, it doesn't register that much in the polls. And we recently were checking out campaign websites of members and candidates who are in competitive races. Really not highlighting immigration reform. They're highlighting jobs and the economy, minimum wage, fiscal issues. But immigration is not at the top of the list. That said, Republican leaders, they really want to get this done. They feel like it's going to be very difficult for them to win a presidential election unless they work with Democrats on immigration reform. But a lot of Republicans, they don't represent. They have a lot of Hispanics in their district. They don't think it's that important, and they think the Senate bill is akin to amnesty. So it's going to be very tough to do. It's not going to be done before the 2014 elections, and the chances of it getting done before 2016, probably less than 50-50. But that's one to watch right after the election, what Republican leaders say, because it's unlikely they're going to act between now and then.
We're speaking with Bob Cusack. He is managing editor of the Hill newspaper. Bob, I wanted to ask you about a couple of other things that pertain particularly to certain agencies. One of them is the IRS. What is going on with regards to the investigation into that tax-exempt division, perhaps targeting conservatives?
Well, the biggest news is that next month the House is going to vote to basically sanction Lois Lerner for taking the fifth. We've seen this showdown at the committee level, Government Reform Committee Chairman Daryl Issa bringing contempt charges against Lerner. There was dispute of whether she claimed the fifth or not. The thing is, like, this investigation has stalled because Lerner has not said what she knows or anything of it. Now, that's her constitutional right. It's frustrated Republicans privately. And then there's the question of, well, would you give her immunity? And Republicans say no. So that's the rub. She's not talking. There's this legal showdown now and this looming House vote next month. But right now, the IRS investigation, you know, we haven't heard a lot of news. One thing to watch that has not yet come out, though, that hasn't got a lot of attention, is the Senate is actually doing a bipartisan investigation on this, and it's obviously been ongoing. We're approaching the one-year anniversary, and I would imagine that's got to come out over the next couple months. And because that's more of a bipartisan endeavor, that may get some, you know, that may get some more resonance of what really happened here, because this whole thing has become a very partisan, finger-pointing kind of thing.
So is there anything big on the list that's not partisan? I can't think of anything, but maybe you can.
Well, as far as something that could get done, and interestingly, it's a small issue, but it's been years in the making, is a women's history museum. There are women lawmakers who have been pushing for this, and this would open around the mall in Washington. It has been embraced by Republican leaders in the House, and there's going to be a vote on it. So this is something that, amid all this gridlock, there is going to be, looks like, a women's history museum. It'll be passed by the House and Senate and signed into law by the president. Not the biggest thing, but at the same time, it's something getting done.
And it sounds like it's something that's very hard for any lawmaker, particularly a male lawmaker, to oppose as well.
Yes.
Doesn't definitely look good on their record. What's happening with the Export-Import Bank? That's another small agency that seems to be a political football every now and again.
Yeah, that's a fascinating one that we're really paying close attention to. There's a real tension between the chairman of the committee, who has jurisdiction over the Export-Import Bank, which will expire this fall unless it is renewed. It was renewed 2 years ago, basically along bipartisan lines. Every Democrat in the House voted for it, and most Republicans did. But there's tension between the chairman, Jeb Hensarling, who thinks the Export-Import Bank is corporate welfare. Also, Paul Ryan opposes the reauthorization without significant changes, at least. But Eric Cantor, the majority leader, has pushed for this in the past, but he's not pushing for it at the moment. It's become a lightning rod on the right, where conservatives do not want to back this. So even though it's backed by the business community, the Tea Party types are very much against it. And the question is, what is the House going to do? What is Jeb Hensarling going to do? Is he going to move something out of his committee? He's going to have hearings. He just announced last week. But it's unclear what he will do, and I think this could possibly be dealt with after the lame duck, though. That is something the Export-Import Bank supporters say should not happen because it has to be done before the election, they say. Otherwise, they can't operate.
Bob Cusack is managing editor of the Hill newspaper. Thank you so much for that update.
Thank you.